The fourth lesson, Mary, full of grace, accepts her role. Luke 1, 46 to 56. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Mary, full of grace. It's a phrase that is central to the traditional Catholic prayer that is best known as Hail Mary. The phrase is taken from Gabriel's greeting to Mary in Luke, 1st chapter, 28th verse, where Gabriel tells her that God is with her and she is highly favored. This is the foundation for their teaching that Mary was uniquely perfected by God's grace, preserved from sin, and was the ideal vessel to give birth to Jesus. Those teachings are not shared by the Protestant churches. The Protestant churches instead suggest that Mary was not all that unlike you or me. She was a young woman, likely in her mid-teens, who was pledged to a righteous man. His name was Joseph, and they both were faithful followers of Yahweh, of God. Both Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, a small, unassuming town of people who had a reputation for being nothing special. But the angel tells Mary that she is highly favored. And she does not need to be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. Mary, it will be okay. The question we have the opportunity to ponder for a few moments tonight is simply, how did Mary find favor with God? And how do you and I find favor with God? First, Mary's availability found favor with God. Luke tells us in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Between you and me, if I were putting the qualifications together for who would be the mother of God, well, I would think she should have a thorough knowledge of Scripture from beginning to end, because she would need to raise Jesus to fulfill all of the prophecies of the Old Testament, and that would mean she too would have to know them. She should know all the customs and all of the feasts, because her family would have to keep them as well. She should be pure and holy. There should be no skeletons in her closet, no bad habits that might rub off, no stories that might come back to haunt her or Jesus. She should be the model of godliness, a Proverbs 31 woman in every effect, noble character, hardworking, generous, loves children, and is a faithful wife. She should have a great gene pool, because she is going to impart her genes to the Son of God. That is to say, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is going to look like his mother. And yet, not one of those qualifications appears to be on God's list, not one. In fact, one of Mary's best qualities is her simple availability. Because when God came to her, her response is simply yes. God tells her to do something, she does it. Most human beings think that, well, that they know more than their boss. They always question those in authority over them, and they always believe they're right. Mary is a rare find. What is the most unpleasant thing you can imagine that God might ask you to do on some occasion? If you're willing to do that, then you are available to God. If you need to think it over first, if you pause or hesitate in your response, you're not yet where Mary was or where God wants you to be. If God asks you to quit your job and move to Africa to be a missionary, would you go? If he were to say to you, sell everything that you have and give to the poor, would you do it? If he said, you should seek reconciliation with somebody who has stabbed you in the back, would you try? If we pray, Father, I will do anything that you ask, but hold out on a few exceptions, that's not availability. F.W. Faber writes, and I quote, we must wait for God long, meekly, in the wind and wet, in the thunder and lightning, in the cold and dark. Wait, and he will come. He never comes to those who do not wait. When he comes, go with him, but go slowly. Fall a little behind. When he quickens his pace, be sure to quicken yours. When he slackens, slacken at once. And do not be slow only, but also be silent. Very silent. For he is God. You see, it isn't our holiness, it isn't our abilities, it isn't our wisdom that finds favor with God. Truth is, we don't have any of that to offer. Mary reminds us that all you and I have to offer is our availability, our obedience. She offers hers. We're invited to offer ours. Second, Mary's worship found favor with God. Luke writes in verses 46 and 47 that Mary said, my soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. This is often known as the Magnificat. The Magnificat is, if you will, Mary's spontaneous, heartfelt worship when she realizes that God has shown her favor. She bursts into praise, into one of the most beautiful litanies in all of Scripture. She had no advance notice of this angelic visit. She had no time to formulate, to write this out, to put together an appropriate response, no speechwriter in residence with her. And yet, this is deeply entrenched in her DNA. There's a principle at work here. See, her first response, her first reaction is her default response. Her initial reaction is her genuine, heartfelt one. It reflects who Mary is, as does our first response reflect who we are. The truth is, the measure of our Christian maturity is our default response when we are confronted with something that might be stressful or, in Mary's case, a surprising circumstance. We ought often pray, Lord, fill us with your love, so that when circumstances squeeze us like a toothpaste tube, worship and praise are what come out. Or, Lord, fill us with your spirit, so that our default response is always obedience. Or, Lord, fill us with faith so that when something rubs us the wrong way, when somebody hurts us, offends us deeply, when something happens that we really don't like or understand, we will respond as a follower of God. Mary's spontaneous worship finds favor with God. And then third, Mary's humility found favor with God. Luke writes, "For he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant." Listen again to some of the phrases of the Magnificat. "He has regarded. He has done great things. He has shown mercy. He has shown strength. He has scattered. He has put down the mighty. He has exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry. He has sent the rich away hungry. He has helped his people Israel." Mary knew that she had nothing that would earn her the favor of God. And it was that knowledge, and it was her acknowledgement of that knowledge, that found favor with God. Mary knows that it's all about God. All of it. All of life. Mary has this humble and contrite heart. And Scripture says that God will never despise a humble and a contrite heart. Never. When you see someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus, thinking they are better than somebody else, God is not pleased. When you see someone who calls themselves a Christian looking down their nose at someone anytime, any place, know that God is not pleased. When you see someone who calls themselves a Christian, who understands that they have nothing to offer God at all except their availability, except their worship, and except the gifts that God himself has given to them, then know that God is pleased. Luther writes, "The only thing we have to offer God is our praise. He owns everything else." The primary qualification for finding favor with God is simply realizing that we are not in any way qualified to find or deserve favor with God. Favor, God's favor, is the result of God's grace. It's a gift. It's why God sent his son to this world in the first place. It is my understanding that in the latest fighter jets that fly in our sky, the seats have a manual and an automatic ejection system. That's because pilots who sit in the pilot chair innately want to hold on to what they've got, even at the risk of their own life. And in fact, once that seat is, in many cases, automatically ejected, the seat still has a manual and an automatic eject mechanism that will separate him from the chair in which he sits. And then the parachute comes out, and hopefully the pilot safely descends. But even then, pilots still like to hold on to what they've got, even to the detriment of their own safety. Truth is, most of us are no different. We want to cling, hold on tight to what we have, to cling to our status and our influence and our reputation and our possessions and what we think we've earned and deserve. But as followers of Jesus, we are to offer God our righteousness, our holiness, our purity. We hang on like there's something special. And the truth is, they're not. Scripture is designed to eject us out of that plane of our false security, out of the seat of our self-reliance, and launch us into the parachute of God's grace. When a person realizes they need Jesus and cries out, "Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I am the Lord's servant," then they will find favor with God. He promised. God's favor is best known to us as God's grace. He offers it freely. And Mary received that grace. So Mary can teach us about it. Because you and I, we need to receive it too.